This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I'm afraid, but I'm positive we can do this. And now even from his message is sending me, he keeps asking me, are you sure? Isn't there some mistake? Isn't there some incorrect information? It can't be. And I said, this is what we told directly by the US Embassy. You know, not me directly, but the South African representative. So that's where it stands. And then he sent me another message. He said the attack seems to have been very, very heavy. And it seems to be a lot of destruction in the area. He said, that's information you got. Of course, remember, Yemen is a very desert type of area. Everything is very remote. Information doesn't come out very easily. And it takes a long time to get any feedback from anywhere. And he said, I said, look, then again he asked me now, how do you know? I said, look, the Americans are saying it. So that's the information we have. And before we could make the announcement, and we didn't want to make the announcement, the first journalist called me from false blood to say it's on Facebook. I don't know who put it on social media. No, we were stunned if any family member would put that on social media. I said, look, and when they started calling me, I said, then we have to announce that this has happened. So the one side is yes, from, again, now you can see the confusion. Take the American hostage situation, the one American media is saying he's dead, the other American media is saying he's alive. In the same situation, one aspect of the American embassy is saying that told our government representative directly that they have confirmation that he is dead. The other person is saying, where did I get information from the same embassy? Understand says we need to see the body or we need to have some kind of confirmation and we can only get that by tomorrow because everything takes too long in Yemen because of the distances and the road and the insecurity. And then, so that's as far as that goes. In terms of the release itself, we have been negotiating since June. You remember early in the year we lost contact with Al-Qaeda completely when they accused others of trying to steal South African government money to release Pierre and that our ransom was paid, which was not true. I then asked him to try to use the angle of getting tribal leaders. And successfully in June, the tribal leaders agreed to try and do something. Towards the end of the June was the beginning of the Islamic month of Ramadan. And in that time, people are more soft and more tender to do things. And they said, okay, we will try. After 3 weeks, they said, we can't go. It's very difficult. We've been battling. There's attacks everywhere. Remember, Yemen is all out war in Yemen. And then eventually they said, look, we went there twice. And on both occasions, we found foot soldiers, we didn't find any leadership. And the foot soldiers said they would pass the message on. And nothing happened. Then in August, they got confirmation that they can come. So they went back in August. They met them. We again raised the issue, as we've been raising the issue from the beginning of the year, that the ransom is something that we cannot pay. $3 million is something not within the reach of any South African, and it's outrageous. And they kept on going back, and at that point, they asked, can we look at reducing it completely or waiving it altogether? And they mentioned all the work South Africans, as we as an organization, had done in Yemen. For the first time, Al-Qaeda said, half of them said, we can look at it positively. The other half of them said, we can't look at it at all. And he said, look, this time they spoke to a different leadership. The ones that we were involved with, Julani, it looks like some of them had died in all the fighting that had taken place. So they said, look, now the way we operate, we have to go to a Shura Council. We can't give you a decision like this. And again, from August, it was yes, no, no, there's no certainty. And they kept on asking, can we give something? And they said, no, $3 million is out. Finally, in October, which the media doesn't know, this is the first time I'm telling you this, they agreed to reduce the ransom to $700,000. For the first time, that figure dropped from $3 million to $700,000. Again, to the media, I didn't give the figure, but I kept on saying we don't have that kind of money. When I say we, it's not gift for the givers. It's a family of Yolani that has to raise that money. In November, they went back and said, look, let's come to some kind of settlement. We need to have some kind of settlement. Don't charge these people any money. They said, we'll think about it. Tribal leaders came back. They were going to go around the 11th of November with further information. And the package they were going to take was what we had offered, to say we're putting more water wells, more food distribution, more supplies to people in poor areas, that Yemen itself is battling, is benefiting more than what you're asking for in ransom, in terms of kind of what is being done. And at that day, when they were going to go, on the way, they got killed. Many of the tribal leaders' members were killed by drone attacks. And we thought that was the end. Because they kept on telling us from June, and it finally became, their words came true, that some of us may die going to try to fight Al-Qaeda because of drone attacks. And it's a high security risk, and we can't keep taking the chance. We have families, and this is very high risk to go in those areas. From different tribes, from different bandits, and from the drones itself, and they once came through, they died. And I told Anas, are we finished now? Does it mean the end that they're not going to go back? But the tribal leaders told Anas that we gave your chief, your tribal leader, your sheikh, the guarantee that we will do our best, and we give the guarantee on behalf of all Yemeni people that because South Africans have helped us so much with all the work that you've done in our country, we will fight till the end, till they tell us it's not possible. So yes, we will go back. But this is the last time we're going back. If they say no and there's no compromise, it's over permanently. We are not going back at all for fear, and this is final. So you need to understand that. Eventually, within the tribal leaders themselves, they said they made an arrangement, the ransom is virtually waived, but there will be a facilitation fee to be shared between the different groups, but more so to cover the cost of those family members who died and the cost of going up and down. It was in the region of $200,000. They were looking at that kind of figure to say, look, the ransom is waived, and between the five tribes or the different groups and the family that have to be compensated, and everything taken to take Piao, to bring him to Sana'a, to get him on the plane, to see health treatment, to get him to South Africa, we look around that region. The family in principle agreed, and Al-Qaeda in principle agreed. On 26th November, 6 a.m., they said, we agree. And they said, you can have Pierre within 3 weeks. They said, the reason we're giving that time deadline is because, as you know, we're being attacked, and our hostages are being freed, and we can't, for our own security, we can't tell you when, we can't tell you how, it will be a very short notice. But in principle, yes, we agree around that figure what you guys are talking about. Facilitation fee. Now, what is not clear is whether $200,000 are going to them or is being shared between the tribal leaders and to cover the cost. That wasn't our problem. We just know, you know, they're going to cover this between themselves and take PR, whatever they discuss, I don't know. And today, on Thursday, Anas flew to Yemen, told the tribal leaders that we're coming to finalize this package, and the arrangement was made. But the Yemen leaders were meeting him this morning. When I got the news just after 6, the tribal leaders and Anas were in a meeting already. And they were preparing the final arrangements within themselves. They don't give the details how they're going to do that. That they were going to meet Al-Qaeda either today or tomorrow. And that we were just told to make the arrangements how to get Pierre out of Yemen. The problem is, because of the infighting, Sana'a has become very, very unsafe. In fact, last week, Anas had to put the phone down because there was heavy fighting and bombing outside his house in the area because of the street fight. But the different tribal groups and the different Al-Wati movement and the Sunni tribes and the Yemeni army sort of fighting, and they said, you know, Sana'a is unsafe. And one of the options we were looking at is to fly from Aden, bring him out to Aden, because that's where the tribal leaders are, and move him directly to Istanbul. South Africans don't need visa to go to Istanbul. The only airline that flies to Aden airport is Turkish Airlines. So the safest way to send him out with no visa requirements was from Aden to Turkey. We also told Yolandi that it would be best for her to fly to Turkey, Istanbul, to meet him there. Remember, Pierre is there completely. And he can't listen to anything. You can't talk to him on the phone. You can't explain to him anything. The other major problem that we had is, how was he going to know that he's been released? Was he being handed over to another group to be sold again? How would he know that? So that was a concern, and I told Yolandi to prepare a letter in Afrikaans that the tribal leaders will then give over as part of the deal to say, here's the letter, then give it to Pierre, and he can read the letter to say that these are the people, I'm Yolandi, I've sent you the letter in Afrikaans, this and whatever, and things they have, that something that he will know it's from her. And to say that you are in safe hands now, these people will take you to Aden. Depending on what we had, we hadn't decided on that fully yet what we were going to do, but that was one of the options. And once it gets to Aden, your passport will be sent to you by the South African Consul General, and from there, you'll be flown directly to Istanbul, where I will meet you. That was the letter that was followed, ready and prepared and to be handed over to him. Yolandi was then going to fly to Turkey, but there was still one precondition to that. It all depended on Pierre's health. If Pierre was not good enough, we had to get him medical treatment in Yemen. Then the problem was to take him to Sana'a or somewhere, a private hospital. And for that, we had made arrangement with a private company, with a private jet, to fly him safely into Sana'a and move him to the hospital. If that didn't work, the second option was to get him treatment in Turkey, because we have connections in Turkey also. And if he was fine, the best option was to fly him to South Africa. In South Africa, there were two options. Either get him treated by a government military hospital, but Yolandi preferred having him in Bloemfontein. She said many doctors are Pierre's friends, and they will take care of him because they know the history. And she said, I would prefer Pierre being at home. One of the conditions, of course, was we were not going to tell you guys until Pierre was already in Bloemfontein. And she said, please no press conference. I said, I understand it because it will be psychologically, emotionally, it will destroy Pierre. In that state for 17 months, you can't have a lot of journalists bombarding him. But she agreed to have a press conference with Pierre a few days later. You know, after he has sort of reconciled with his family, had some treatment, counseling, been with his kids, and they agreed, she said, look, I will do that for the video, for South African public, because they've stood by us, and we appreciate everything that they've done for us. So she agreed to that. We had made all these prior arrangements, all this is on my phone, all the contract proof is there. And you know, we've been talking about this for the last week. Just to say, the most important thing, of course, was Pierre, his safety, his mental state, his physical state, Yolande's state, the children's state. And she keeps telling me, you know what, it's 18 months now, my kids haven't seen Pierre or heard from Pierre. They're missing their father terribly. I haven't spoken to him in 11 months. And Anders sent me a message. He said, look, I said, Anders, the way I see it, maybe on Wednesday, 10th December, we will have Pierre back in South Africa. And he sent me a message back to say how good that would be, because on 10th January, we took Yolande out, and on 10th January, we have Pierre back in South Africa. I said, let's be positive, but I have still this nagging thought that something mustn't go wrong. I had a premonition last night. When Anders sent me a message, I said, Anders, did you hear the news? He tells me that Al-Qaeda is threatening to execute the American hostage. I said, that is my biggest fear. And when they said 3 days' time, I said, I think they're going to do it. And I said, because they're going to do it to show the point, for no other reason to show a point, to say, look, don't attack us. And I said, they're going to do it. And my biggest fear is, before they do that, the American troops are going to attack them. And in the process, Pierre's going to die. This was my message to him last night. And I said, I hope this doesn't happen. And then I said, tell your tribal leaders, we cannot wait till Sunday. We need to get him out on Saturday. Get him out today. And he said, but it gets more dangerous. I said, we've gone so far. We've made all this effort. It's going to be high risk. Of course, we have to have the approval because they're going to do it and not us. And I said, please. So he said, this morning early, I'm meeting him. And I said, I hope my premonition doesn't come true. That if they attack, Pierre will certainly die. And I spoke to Yolande also, and indirectly, I gave her that message, indirectly, to say, what, Yolande, I'm only afraid if the American troops attack. Well, of course, I'm not blaming them, because Americans have their own hostages as their interest. South Africans, we have all our hostages as our interest. We all have our own interests. They have their interests, we have our interests. And whatever happened has happened. You know, I mean, there's no bad feeling towards anyone. But all I'm saying is, I hope this doesn't happen. And this morning, 6 o'clock, they said, God is great to us. I said, you're patient, you've been very good, you know, we have trusted Almighty. You'll have him home for Christmas. I told her that last week too. You'll have him home for Christmas, we can spend quality time together, and we just get him treated and sorted out. And we are almost there, we are almost done. We are so close. And I said, I hope I'll give you some good news later this afternoon or tomorrow morning. She said, but how will I know what to do? I may go to the wrong country. You know, which country do I go to receive him? I said, Yolande, the moment Pierre is in our hands, we will contact the South African consul. They already know about it. They already have the information that they have to be ready. I will tell you which country to go, who will meet you, where you have to go, and you know, to go, and what time you have to fly. And all those arrangements will be made on condition. I can't give it until I know Pierre's condition. Once I know Pierre's condition, then only can I take a decision to say whether he can travel or not travel, because we don't want him dying in transit. So she said, fine. And then she said, are you sure? Of course, there was a lot of doubt all the time, because the lady is on the one side, hope, and on the other side, anxiety and fear. And it was devastation this morning for me. I haven't called yet, because I can't call her now in that state of mind. Imagine having all that hope after 11 months of waiting. You're optimistic. You are told your husband will be home by Wednesday, maybe even out tomorrow. Home Wednesday, but out tomorrow, Monday at the latest. And you get a message to say he's not here anymore. So that's where it stands. No, and of course, Anders and I still want to see a body, to put it in inverted commas. We wanted to see the information, but as I said, the police negotiator said they have pictures. So Anders said, look, we'll have to wait 24 hours to 48 hours.
Which negotiator said it?
The South African police negotiator. Police. He's in South Africa. He got the call. He hasn't given me permission to mention his name yet, so if he does, I'll mention his name.
Was the 200,000 paid over?
No, it was going to be paid. It was part of the deal.
I'm sorry, sir, one last question. Were the Americans aware that his release has almost been secured?
I'm sure they must be knowing that. They must be knowing that. Last week, you remember there was an attack on Tuesday, they freed 7 hostages. On Wednesday, apparently, they were attacked again. And in that attack, they thought a British, the American, and Pierre were in a certain place. But when they got there, they found there was nobody there. On Thursday, there was a follow-up attack. And in that attack, of course, more people were released. So I can't tell you whether the Americans knew where he was or the negotiation was taking place. Well, I mean, everybody knew the negotiation was taking place, but not many people knew that he was going to be released.
How do you know about this? What is your source for pulling
these attacks? It comes because my person who works for me is a journalist. And whatever we do, we direct in contact with the Yemeni government, with the Interior Ministry, with the National Security Agency of Yemen. Because they've been supporting us from the first day. And even now, they were going to ask us, they said, whatever assistance you need to help get Pierre out, whatever security you need, you have our support. The only problem was that because of the infighting and the changes in the government all the time, we had to keep talking to new people almost every week. Because it's very unstable in Yemen at the moment.
Do you think the Americans had the impression that their guy, Luke Summers, was about to be executed?
I'm sure, because remember, they didn't release to the press, you know, what was going to be done in three days' time. They were told they have to do something in 3 days' time. My gut feeling is they would have done it. Because they haven't hesitated to do it before.
They would have killed the American.
Yeah, they would have killed him. I have no doubt about that.
Is there anyone
innocent? No, I can't blame anybody for this. I mean, it's a hostage situation. It's a crisis situation, you know. And everybody's working in their own interest. I mean, if I was a South African government and I wanted to release my hostages, I probably would have done something similar. You know, thinking if I had an opportunity, thinking if they were to kill my hostage, I would have done something similar. So I can't accuse them or blame them for anything. And I mean, you can't point blame fingers at anyone because they probably got pressure from their families to say, you know what, can you take our citizen out? So that I can't, I mean, we're not blaming anybody. It's just unfortunate that it has happened.
Does he know if the South African government will at some stage perhaps this weekend officially confirm or provide their own information on the situation?
They'll probably expect, look, the police negotiator is from the South African government. He's a South African government employee.
But officially?
He told me, look, he will inform the government. I don't understand why he was called directly, but he said he will inform the government.
What was his role in the whole thing? The police compared to
because it's a police negotiator, he has been talking to us from the first day, right? And he has been very supportive. He has been very supportive to Yolandi. He's been supportive to the family. He tried to give us advice. You know, he tried to give the family advice. And he's just been there to try to assist in any way. Because remember, we're crushing at straws. There was a negotiator from another country that also came to South Africa specifically to assist us. And that negotiator was involved with us up till yesterday. And suddenly, pulled out.
If the peace negotiator's contact with the situation was through you.
Yes, yes. We informed, you know, but I never spoke to him directly. I informed the Kofi family because I was in touch with them for 11 months all the time. And because they had started a dialogue with the police negotiator and other people, even with Indeco, and I said, you know what, you carry on that line of communication. I will speak to you directly and you contact them.
Had you then contacted all your negotiator or the people that you were working with in South Africa, embassy in Saudi Arabia, and the other one in Yemen, about this impending release? Were they aware?
Yes, the passport was even ready. The passport was ready because we had to. Remember, we were not sure. So, but because of wanting that something else was not captured here, we had to inform them in advance that they have to fly either to Sana'a or to Aden and tell us which exit route they're going to use. Based on that, we will know how to book Pierre out. Does he fly to Dubai? You see, there was one other issue. We could fly, the Yemeni, if Yemenis were to accompany Pierre, they could take him to Jordan and Egypt. They don't need visas for that. But we need visas for that. So that would have been a problem. To go to Dubai, we don't need visas, we can get into the airport. But they need 2 weeks to get a visa to go to Dubai. So the only common country where we could get out, but both South African and a Yemeni accompanying him, would be Turkey. If a Yemeni was not accompanying him, and only our consul or embassy, then we would have gone to Dubai or to Turkey. So we had all those different options in there. And it also depended on Pierre's state, where we could get the mess medical facilities, and we wanted to get to a safe country. Even medical facilities, if we could put him on a plane for a few hours and get him out of there, we would be happier to do that out of the country.
Sorry.
You said the South African police negotiator in Yemen said they had pictures.
No, not in Yemen, in South Africa.
In South Africa, they had pictures. So have they sent it to your line?
He didn't have pictures. He was told that the Americans said they have pictures.
They have pictures.
But they need to confirm forensically.
How do you think the South African police negotiator knew it before you did? I mean, if he's not in direct contact?
He said the American...
From the US?
Yes, from the US. They're not going to call me. They're going to call a government person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, the money that was going to be paid off, where was it coming from? Was it from family or...?
It was the family said, it was family and friends. Initially they said, look, they were not getting money. Because people wanted a guarantee that, you know what, how's the money going to be used? And eventually when they were told that it's more, not so much a ransom, more facilitation fee to give tribal leaders to get him out, because in principle Al-Qaeda and after 11 months got the message that South Africans don't have $3 million, they don't have any hundreds of thousands of dollars. So the principle, the angle that they used was what we put, and in fact in the last 4 weeks we put in a lot of stuff, social work in different provinces inside Yemen, and it's because of they had seen that. And they didn't say directly, it was, they said it's not good for the image to say, you know what, we sort of accept to take him out without money.
Mr. Suleiman, what arrangements have been made now to get the forensic confirmation and to give his body back?
That's a negotiation between the American government, the Yemeni government, and the South African government. You know, that's, we're not in that part of it. I still need confirmation. Although I'm giving you all this information and everything that's told to me, I still need to see Pierre's body, to be honest with you.
Sorry, where exactly was this? Did this incident actually take place? How far outside of China?
It's deep. It's probably most likely Hadramaut province. Hadramaut province is where the Al Qaeda concentration is.
What province?
Hadramaut. Hadramaut.
And the actual site, you were told that the site that there was logical devastation, was that from somebody who was there who saw it, or was it from the pictures of the Americans?
My journalist friend got that from his, in fact, inside information. He just said there was large-scale damage. I'm not sure if it's on TV, but whatever he tells me is always 100% correct, so I don't have to ask him. I know what it's always very fact. So when he tells me there's one building attack, I believe one building's attack. If there's a large-scale devastation, I believe him fully, because he always cross-checks his information.
Mm. You spoke about a letter that you and the Herald had already written. What did that letter say? What was that letter for?
There were several letters written, not only one.
Okay. No, you spoke about the one that...
The one specifically now was, yeah, to say, I didn't ask her what's the contents of the letter. Okay. I said, write the letter, because this is a private relationship between husband and wife. So I said, we don't need to know the contents of the letter. You write it in a way that Pierre will understand it is you. That's all we need to tell him. All he has to know is he's going to save hands. That's all. I said, and I reminded her, I said, you're in the same position, remember? When he said, yes, don't I remember that, she told me. Don't I remember that very well. Because I spoke to her that night to say Yolandi, but she didn't know who I was. And even after I spoke to her as a South African, she still didn't trust anybody.
Sorry, then, Dr. Sumrat, was Anas on his way to Hadramaut province when he got the news? Or was
no.
He still busy meeting?
Anas is in Abyad. Anas Khan, sorry, in Aden. Anas can't go to Hadramaut province. Anas himself is at high risk. At no stage can he go. But because he has to have the master plan, and he has to coordinate with the leaders, his job was to be there. Remember, Anas is supposed to be in Aden. But he's come out, because we had no other way of doing this. And Anas had to go build a trap, because they realized that you are serious. You're not something by remote control. They had to see him personally, to think that a man who comes out of hiding is really serious to risk his life, to show them that we are really serious about what we're talking. So Anas was in Aden this morning. He's there right now, too. And his words are, the tribal leaders are shocked, what do we do? I said, we don't do anything. We wait for 48 hours.
So at that time...
We are actually acting still. What the hope that this information is incorrect, we will proceed with what we're supposed to do.
Do you believe that he's dead?
Yes. I believe he's dead. If in the attack, you know, because the attack, you say that the attack was so devastating, and if he was in that place that they say, then most likely he's dead. The only question, was he in that place? It was not in that place, because if the tribal leaders knew, see, the part I don't understand, if they know they take a man out and agree to a deal with somebody else, why would they keep him in a place with other hostages? That's the part I can't reconcile. To me, they should have moved him, okay, other hostages are here, we had no discussion about these hostages, keep them on side. This guy, we take him out, so he must go down to Esport, we're going to move him somewhere else. Because from there, we're going to move him to Abyad or something. So that's the only part I can't reconcile. That's why I still have, I believe he's there if he was in the area, but I have this couple of percent of doubt to say, why was he still held there? And that's why Anas himself has said, what do we do? And he said, for the next 48 hours, we still stay as is, stick to the plan, and wait for proper confirmation. If there's no confirmation, we contact them and we go ahead and see if nothing has happened.
After 48 hours?
Yes.
From this morning?
From this morning. You know, of course, we can't call them now to say hello. Do you know if Alice is dead? It's not going to work. So, I mean, Pierre. So, we'll have to allow for a period of cooling, and most likely, we'll contrive to get the tribal leaders to contact them this evening or tomorrow morning to verify that has happened. But not obviously the wrong time to do that. My heart goes up for Yolandi. You know, she must be really totally devastated. This conversation last night was a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty. And after almost 5 hours of up and down, you know, on WhatsApp, we finally this morning, thank you very much, I'm going to sleep now. Who goes to sleep? A person was at peace to say, I'm okay, I'm going to sleep now. And probably an hour later, awoken to say, you know what, this is random.
Did the investigator give you any idea what sort of confirmation the Americans had that he was dead?
He said they were absolutely sure.
Yeah.
I said, I'm sure he told me. But I mean, why would they phone the government if they're not sure?
Yeah.
That would sound ridiculous. And why would you phone the wife of the man if you're not sure? That wouldn't make any sense. He said, look, we had a frank discussion. You know, they said, look, we can't make a press release of this. I said, obviously, I can't make a press release. It's got nothing to do with me.
Mm.
But then he said, probably DARPA's going to do it. I said, well, they shouldn't be doing it. The Americans should be doing it. They're the ones that got the information. They did the attack. And we're not blaming them, but they need to make the announcement.
Yeah.
So he said, what you're saying is right. So he said, we'll wait for that. I said, but at the same time, I can guarantee you, if somebody gets wind of this, 100 media are going to call me this morning. And we have to say the truth. So he said, I agree with you what you're saying. And then I said, okay, that's one point. But how sure are you that this has happened? He said, they told me directly. They have picture proof, and they're only waiting for forensics. So I said, if they're so sure, then did they contact Yolandi? They need to contact Yolandi. So he said, they contacted Yolandi. So I said, how do you know that? He said, I was part of the press conference, of the conversation, the what it was, conference call. Good, when they called it.
So those were the Americans that contacted Yolandi?
That's what he said, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
just for clarity again, who did you say would he provide the presentation for you?
Family and friends of Yolandi.
And then, did the Americans say whether any hostages were free in this attack?
They only spoke about Pierre.
Only about.
They didn't speak about the other. Well, I don't know if they told the other guy any information. The only information he gave me was probably relevant to me. He told me Pierre. He didn't talk about American hostages or anything else. The other information I got from Anas. He said the information he had is 10 Yemeni I did. And the information is American is alive, and some people are saying that is that he doesn't know about that.
What would make you drop the plan completely to say that it's
over? If Al Qaeda themselves tell me that Pierre died. Mm-hmm. Well, others asked me now, do we abort mission? That was his next question this morning. Do we abort mission? And I told him no. Maybe I'll just read you some of the words.
Mm.
Anas, this is 8:15 this morning. Did you hear that Pierre was killed last night? Meaning in the early hours of the morning. Exactly what I told you happened. I explained to you I had a premonition last night that they may attack and he'll die. Who told you that? I gave the name of the person. He worked on hostage issue. My English is according to his English, okay? He good man. U.S. Embassy called him. Last night, U.S. troops attacked and Pierre got killed in the process. 8:18. Do you think it's sure? It sounds very definite. The person phoned Yolandi. Yolandi called Pierre family. Pierre family called me. So I can abort mission. Then I tell him I know why that hostage guy pulled out. Check first, just in case there's a mistake. Don't abort mission. Okay. Ask him, do you get any information? I would reply after 1 hour, I'm with Abian leaders and with my chef. Okay. Then he says, USA hostage released today, see Al Jazeera. Then I say, any news on Pierre? Do you know what happened? He says, I call the National Security Agency. They say they don't have confirmation about Pierre if he killed. Today was a big attack by US force. They tried to destroy everything. I said, American embassy confirmed. They have pictures. They called Yolandi also. And I asked him, then how come in the attack, American hostage saved and Pierre died? How is that possible? Then he said the chefs said American prefer... No, sorry, there's something else. He said that Americans would not like to see the hostage being killed by Al-Qaeda. Then he said, can you send me these pictures? I said, we don't have them and we can't get them. Okay. Then he said, defense ministry confirmed U.S. hostage released and New York Times confirmed he is killed. Right? What's your advice? I'm confused. I do my best to be strong with Abin Sheikhs. They move to meet Al-Qaeda. We will see what they will do. We may find truth. I said, we can't do anything. Even sister of Americans say, American hostage killed. He says, yes. He said, by tomorrow, we will find the truth. He said, we will find out if Pierre is killed. He said, you don't have to confirm this until we find proof. I said, it's all over on social media. Somebody has put it there already. He said, yes, we have to keep calm by now. By tomorrow, I will be sure. He will not die. I'm sure. I feel that he will be released. You know, he keeps telling me that. News from New York Times, also he says here, New York Times said, he killed but 10 Yemeni. There is no other foreigners. Tell Yolandi to keep process and not wait. Then he says, the media calling them. He said, what must I tell him? I said, tell him whatever you know. I said, he asked me, do you have proof to confirm he is killed? You must confirm. I said, American embassy informed our government. They can't lie about that. He said, there is Iranian and German hostage also. So what do we do now? I said, we wait 2 days. Okay. I said, I will not answer for any media. I'm not in the mood to say anything. He's very upset. He doesn't want to talk. He doesn't want to do the tribal leaders. So I said, we wait for 2 days. But either this evening or tomorrow morning, we will probably try to get permission from Al-Qaeda directly. If they themselves have not been killed, the guys that we're talking to. Okay.
This is Anas.
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 A-N-A-S. A-L, second name A-L, dash H-A-M-A-T-I.
So it was the Americans in the...
Hold on. I'm reading your message now. Dear MTRs and Anas, this is from Yolandi. I've got a message right now. I look at our last conversation and just want to reach out to you, Anas, and the tribes in this hour. We are devastated, but I also know you all are devastated. You said in your media statement you salute me, but I wish to return the salute to you and Anas and the tribes. Please accept our deep appreciation for your immeasurable commitment, as well as to Anas and the tribes. I am too emotional to speak to Anas right now, but remind him of my words to him in Salah. If anything happens, it is not his fault. She told me this several times. And neither you or the tribe's fault. We will speak soon. Yolandi, Peter Ben, and Liz Marie. I think those are the kids. And the message came right now.
How are you feeling, Dr. Suleiman?
Terrible. Look, I'll use some of the words I spoke to last night. We had a long conversation. I said, then she said, God is with them. I said, he has always been with all of us. That's how we got you out in the first place. She sent a smiling icon. I'll wait for developments today and will inform you, but it will be much later in the day. Thank you. Just keep me updated on the developments. It's enough for me. I don't have to know how they will wait. I trust you and A. No problem, I say. I trust the tribal way. They always keep to their word. The members were killed by drones last month, and we were afraid they would say they are not going ahead because of the dangers. They didn't do that. They kept to their word and said they would read through to the end, but that this is the last time. We therefore have to finish it right now. She says, yes, I've never prayed so much as these past 19 months. I said, you will pray more than that in thankfulness after this. because we were sure we were going to take him out. She said, yes, that is my heart's desire. I tell her, Almighty has put your family to a very big test for all of you to bond strongly and to have a life of closeness to the Almighty from here onward. In spiritual terms, you are blessed and fortunate. And you, then she tells me, and you and others, thank you for the encouragement. I tell her, the waiting is almost over. That was my last message to her at 5:59. And then she sends this message now.